Once again, I just want to thank you for being together with us today. And as we use our palm branches, it's not often you get to see these things, unless, of course, you're in a balmy place where it's warm and things like that. But we use these especially for this special day, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. So what is the significance, would you say, is Palm Sunday? And, you know, we're coming up to Easter. We are, some of you have been observing Lent and maybe going without some things. And that's not just to, you know, have fun or to, you know, to just do something that's traditional. We are doing this in an effort to remind us of the holiness of this this day and this time. It's so very important. And so as we sacrifice things, as we wave our branches, as we deny ourselves things, it's almost like fasting, right? And so we're denying ourselves things to help us remember why it is we're celebrating, all right? And it's not just something, some of us just do it, like my wife, for instance, she just loves chocolate. So she might, go without chocolate. And we might hear something from the peanut gallery regarding this comment of mine, but she might go without chocolate to help remind her. And so when she feels that need for that chocolate, she says, no, I'm not going to have any chocolate because I'm remembering. It's causing me to remember what Jesus did for me. Right, Jody? She says it doesn't happen often. Well, she might go without something else. So, or some of you may do the same, right? So what we're celebrating today is Palm Sunday, and it's focused around Matthew. If you want to turn there with me, let's turn there together. Now, in Zechariah, it talks about how your king, if you will, comes to you riding on what? A big war horse, right? He's showing his dominance to everyone, right? No. Well, that's not it at all. Isn't that, though, how kings enter a place? They enter on this big war steed, you know, and they're showing their dominance. I have come to rule you. I have come to conquer you, and you will be my subjects. But Jesus did something differently, didn't he? Well, we're going to start in Zechariah. Let's read this together. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See? It's like, look, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation. And now listen to this. Gentle and riding on a donkey. Whoa. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a king that is proclaiming peace to the nations? Wait just a minute here. Kings want to preserve their thrones. They want to, anyone that is coming against them that could possibly risk an overtaking their throne would be put out or put to death, right? But here it says he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. This, friends, is the king that we're talking about. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew gives us a story, if you will, of what is happening, all right? Now, Jesus he's preparing for this event, and he says to his disciples, he says, as they approached Jerusalem, he says to them to go into the village. Now, they're at the Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, and some of my pastor friends and I, we've been to Israel, and we stood in that very place. Stood in the very place looking over to the city of Jerusalem and in the temple there. And he says, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find what? A donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. All right? Now, I don't know about you, but I think that I would like to have that ability. I'm coming out of, let's say, Walmart, and I see a BMW in the parking lot, and I just, wow, that's a pretty nice-looking car right there. Hey, guys, why don't you give me that car over there? And if anybody says anything at all to you, you just tell them the Lord has need of it. Wouldn't you like to have that power, right? But this God, it just shows that he has control. It's showing Jesus has control. Now, there's several different things that are being shown here in what is happening. And so Jesus, these guys, his disciples, they go into Jerusalem and they find this donkey and the colt, and they bring them back to Jesus. All right? Now, when they bring them back to Jesus, and everything happens just the way that he says, okay? When they bring the donkey and the colt back to Jesus, they throw their coats and things like cloaks on these donkeys, and Jesus gets up on the donkey, and he's riding into the city on this donkey, all right? Now, mind you, in Zechariah, people would have known, they would have recognized this, okay? Now, there's a couple different instances in the Bible that reference riding on a donkey, okay? Solomon was one of them. Solomon was one of the people that rode a donkey also, proclaiming that he is bringing peace, all right? And so this donkey that he's riding on says something to the people, all right? Now, oh, that's a nice donkey. No, that's not what it's saying to the people. What it's saying is peace. My peace I bring to you. My peace I'm leaving with you. And they would have known this reference from the Holy Scriptures. Okay? Now, as Jesus is coming in, the people are like, well, wait a minute. If he's riding this donkey and he's entering Jerusalem in this way, he must be the king that we've been looking for. He must be the king that is going to deliver us from our enemies. Okay? But Jesus is saying, this kingdom that I am bringing is going to be one of peace. My kingdom. Now, he's coming to them humble, not lording it over them, is he? He's not lording it over them. He's saying, my kingdom is one of humility, of peace, of forgiveness. And so all may enter my kingdom. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be one of high position. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be this or that. Anyone can come to my kingdom. So he's saying, you are all welcome to be part of my kingdom. I'm bringing you peace. So let's read that scripture together here in Matthew chapter 21, as we had up there, 21, 1 through 3. So Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and all the people begin to say something to him, and they're waving their palm branches, and they're maybe something like this. It was probably a little bit more, right? And their branches and stuff like that. But they had these palm branches and whatnot, and they're waving them to Jesus as he's going by, all right? Not only are they waving these palm branches to him, they're taking stuff of their belongings, their coats and their cloaks and clothing, and they're throwing it on the ground in front of this donkey that he's riding on, all right? So that is a sign of, in a sense, homage and a blessing and respect and honor, okay? And they're waving these palm branches, and they begin to say things like this, Hosanna! Hosanna! What does that mean? Hosanna? What is that? Hosanna. To the Son of David, down in verse 9. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the people are saying, finally, our king has come, and he's going to deliver us from these God-blessed Romans, and he's going to release us from our oppression and things like this. Well, that's not necessarily what Jesus was coming for, okay? So this Hosanna, they're crying out to Jesus, save. That word Hosanna is centered around this word save, or to save. And it's saying, save us, and it has this implication, this pressure almost, and it's saying, save us now! Lord, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna to the king. Save us. We're oppressed. We need you. But they're thinking differently, aren't they? They're thinking carnally, we would say. They're thinking humanly. But God had a purpose in sending his son, you see. He had a purpose to redeem humanity, to redeem mankind to himself. You see, Jesus was the sacrifice. When Jesus entered the city, down in verse 10, it says, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. From Nazareth in Galilee. This is a small little place. Friends, the importance of this day is not the palms. It's not, you know, the yelling and Hosanna. It's the King, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come to fulfill the scriptures. Jesus has come to redeem those who are lost. Jesus is the King, but his kingdom is quite different than any earthly kingdom. He did not come with dominance as other kings would come. He came with humility. He came with forgiveness. And shortly after this time, people would be screaming, crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas, that murderer. Give us him instead. You see, the religious leaders of Israel had stirred up the whole place, had stirred up the whole city. against Jesus. So things would go from this big hurrah moment to the death of Christ Jesus, our Lord, on the cross at Calvary. Jesus would have his last supper, as it were, with his disciples, celebrating Passover. And he would be brought before Pilate, having been arrested. And Pilate is not that he's a gentle or generous man, because he was not. And he's got quite the track record of being ruthless and brutal. But in this situation, his wife had a dream, right? You may have read this. His wife had a dream. Have nothing to do with this man. And so that was probably sticking in his head. My wife's words stick in my head sometimes too, more than I would like them to, but that happens, and it's probably not as much as she would like them to, I'm sure. But so in his mind, his wife's words are like, don't have anything to do. And so he's thinking of a way. Well, how can I release this guy and stay aloof from it, stay uninvolved? And he says, well, there's a tradition that I can release someone as an act of generosity, as an act of mercy. I'll do this, and then we'll let Jesus go. Well, the priests heard about this, and they stirred up all the people. So when Pilate asks, who would you like me to release to you? You scream out the name. And so, as you remember, they screamed for the name Barabbas, Barabbas, release Barabbas. And then Pilate said, well, what would you have me to do with this Jesus of yours? And then they said these words, crucify him. And the whole crowd, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Which leads us to what we celebrate as Good Friday, when Jesus was crucified. But this day, Jesus is making a statement to people, and he's saying, my kingdom I bring to you, the kingdom of God I bring to you. But this kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. And he says that to Pilate when he's standing before him. Are you a king? Pilate says. I am, as you say. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God my Father, who sent me, whose words I say. That is my kingdom. And I don't come to dominate people. I come to welcome people into my kingdom. Do you see the difference here? So today, I wonder, as we're spending this time together, where do you stand with Jesus, this King, this Messiah? Why is it important for us to have anything to do with these? I mean, these are just stories, right? These are just stories in a book. Yeah, but they involve you and me. These stories, these historic stories, are for you and me. And it's for our salvation, to wash us clean of the guilt of our sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. What we earn when we do our job is we get a paycheck. We earn something for what we've done, right? And in the same way, when we sin, we earn something as well. We earn punishment by sin. Death, even, the Bible says. All right? But Jesus says, I'm the gift of life. That scripture goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life with him. That, friends, is special. Now, you may have not been taught these things. Maybe you've never heard these things and the importance of Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter and how it relates to you. You may have been and are familiar with all the Easter bunnies and the candy and chocolate and eggs and all of these things, and none of that has much to do with the birth or crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. That's why we are celebrating, not because of candy, not because of bunnies. They represent something different, all right? Bunnies and eggs, you can follow that line of thinking if you would like, but it's way different than God's plan, okay? And so the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God is saying, I am bringing to you eternal life with me. And to all that received him, to all them that believed on his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. And so, if you believe him, who? This Jesus. Why do I need to believe Jesus? God is asking you to have faith that what Jesus did and is going to do in our story, that what he did is taken as payment for your sin and mine. Okay? And so Jesus becomes the sacrificial lamb, as it were. And he is the sacrifice once for everybody, past, present, future. And if we receive him, he receives us as his sons and his daughters. And our sin is washed clean, and we are once again placed in right standing with God the Father, where at one time our sin had separated us from God. Jesus is, in a sense, our mediator between God and mankind because of our sin. Right? God is so holy that he can't entertain sin. Even when Jesus was on the very cross, the Father God had to look away because his Son had taken on, had become our sin. And as he was nailed to that cross, both hands and feet together, and his blood ran. And the crown of thorns was crushed down upon his head, and then the thorns dug into his scalp and began to bleed. And as he was suffocating on that cross, our sin was also being crucified with Christ. The Bible says that we are crucified with Christ because he was crucified. Our sin was with him. And when he died, our sin also died. And when he arose again on the third day, we also arose with Christ. Victorious. Victorious. Friends, that can be you today. In the world, in the way that we see things in a chaotic way, and evil, and even wickedness, and all of these things going on, even things in nature are going on that really make you think about things, really makes you unsettled a little bit as to what's going on. All right? God is in control. God knows what he is doing. He is not, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? He's not wringing his hands in fear. He is still the king on his throne. And if our trust and our hope is in him, we don't need to worry or fret or fear. I'm going to pray a prayer today. And as we celebrate and remember what happened on this day, and this whole thing is called the Passion of Christ. Maybe you saw that Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of Christ. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's very powerful. The Passion of Christ. And that's what this whole thing is called, the Passion of Christ, because he endured such hardship for what? For you and for me. He did it for you and for me. He did it because he loves us. He did it because we were lost in our sin. We needed a Savior. And God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was God's plan. Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We just thank you, Lord, for what you've done to rescue us from our sin. We thank you, O Lord, for providing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father, I pray that as people are listening and watching today, I pray that they too would say yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord, I believe you. Yes, Lord, I receive you. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Free me from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. And help me to live my life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.